Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. AB 5 in California now requires that many independent contractors be made employees. That means also that they will receive benefits. The issues in this labor law, though, are complex. There are pros and cons for individual artists and the arts industry overall. Julie Baker from Californians for the Arts is here to examine this with me. Hi, Julie. Thanks for coming in today.
Hi, Beth. So great to see you.
You have been giving workshops across the region on this. I think you just heard what Scott Rodd was saying about AB 5. Will you expand on it? What else is there to understand that's important?
Well, yes, we've been doing workshops across the state. I've done about 14 workshops for the arts sector to educate people about what's happening in terms of this legislation. As Scott mentioned, it was based on a Supreme Court decision, Dynamics. And so that actually happened in April of 2018. So really the law changed then, but it became codified and expanded in January of this year. And I think that, you know, there's three test factor now to be able to determine if someone's an independent contractor or an employee. And the big one for our sector is that the B factor is that you have to be outside the usual course of business. So if you're in the arts and you hire, as you've maybe done all for years and years and years, an actor, a musician, a choreographer, somebody for that performance, that event, and you've always had them as an independent contractor. Well, now if you can't prove that they're outside of the usual course of business, they need to be an employee. So that's a big factor in terms of how that has changed, particularly for the arts, which is the issues that we examine.
That seems difficult to discern using your Sac Ballet example. It would seem that if you bring in an outside choreographer, but you do that for every event, that would be normal, even though it's outside. However, that choreographer would fall under this AB 5 law, correct?
Yes. I mean, the challenge with the law and with the decision is that it's so new. So I've done all of these workshops I've done with employment lawyers, and I am not an employment lawyer, although I've become quite knowledgeable about this particular segment. And there's been no time to interpret the law. So the Borrello decision, which is the existing decision that you would make the factors to determine if someone's an independent contractor or an employee, was determined in 1989. So we had 25 years to look at case law or whatever the math is to figure out what it meant. This happened in April of 2018. The Dynamics decision became law, signed into law mid-September of 2019 and became law January 1st of 2020. So for employment lawyers, they're still trying to figure out what does it all mean?
Not to mention that the whole gig economy, and I know this doesn't apply to absolutely everybody, but that whole economy is still brand new and defining itself.
In some ways, I would say the arts sector has sort of, some people would say, is the original gig economy and has been around for a long time and has operated in that way. But I think that there's a lot of confusion out there in terms of sort of the response that I've been seeing in those 14 workshops has been a lack of clarity, confusion. What does this mean to us? Does that mean I have to make everyone an employee? Artists standing up and saying, but I want to be independent. Why can't I be independent? So I think that's a real, that's part of what the legislature is dealing with this year, is trying to make things a little bit more clear for the sector, all sectors, I mean, that it's affecting. And there is new legislation, AB 1850, which was also introduced by Gonzalez, the author of AB 5, to try to clarify some of the things that have led to a lot of confusion.
I was going to ask who's coming to the workshops to see if it gives you a picture of who's concerned or who's paying attention.
Well, who's paying attention is interesting, too. And I'd say that, you know, a lot of people were not paying attention until really it became a bigger press issue in early January. And the media started to report on it, primarily because the media was also hit with the journalist requirement. So I think it became more apparent to people. And we started talking about it last year because we actually I represent two organizations. And one is a C4, which allows us to have a lobbyist. And that's California Arts Advocates. And last year, while AB 5 was being debated in the legislature, we worked to get an exemption for the art sector, recognizing that the huge impact this could make, because about a third of the way that people are employed currently in the art sector are as independent contractors. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine the amount of transition. So we lobbied and we were able to get an exemption in for fine artists. However, in the law, AB 5, there is no definition of fine artists. So that also led to some confusion from our sector trying to determine what does that mean, who is a fine artist, who is not a fine artist. And in some ways, that was intentional, apparently, according to the author. And that will be determined either this year in AB 1850 or by the enforcement agencies like EDD or Department of Industrial Relations.
What's the range of artists that you're putting under that umbrella, our sector?
Our sector. Yes, thank you for saying that. And so really the sector is so broad. And this is one of the things right. That's been really interesting in that what AB5 has illuminated for us, which is that it goes from everything to someone who's doing who's a teaching artist in maybe an after school program or in a community program to a concert violinist to the entertainment unions. I mean, you've got a broad spectrum. And then you've got Disney at one end and Nevada County Arts Council at the other end. I mean, it's a huge, huge industry. And as the voice for the arts community, Californians for the Arts, we really have to represent all of those. So there's artists in there and there are actors and there's people that really do want those protections from accidents happening on set. And so they want those workman's comp insurance. And then there's others who say, I want to remain independent. That's really important to me.
Do you have a gauge of how much is on each side? I think you just alluded to earlier that maybe more people in the performance arts want to be independent contractors. Sometimes you're required to be part of a professional company and a paid staff, but
I can't speak for everyone, and so I can just tell you what we're seeing. And so what we're seeing is a perspective also from small budget arts organizations. So these are the folks that are bringing really valuable programs to maybe some rural communities as well as large urban environments. And they're doing these things already on really, really thin margins. And they're doing it because they believe in the impact that the arts can make. And we know the economic impact, but also the impact on people's lives. Homelessness, there's some really good studies that show when we have arts programs after housing, that this keeps people engaged.
So let's get specific about this example. Yeah. Are you talking about a small group that might be staging a play or bringing in a speaker?
Sure.
Or holding a one-time film festival?
Absolutely. It's
and
all
what's the expectation under AB5?
Well, if you were to read the ABC test very specifically, it would be that if it is not outside of their usual course of business, that those folks would need to be employees. And so that is a challenge where, I mean, as you know, Beth, I used to run a venue and a music festival, and we hired hundreds of artists a year to come in. And if we were not working with them on a business-to-business level, in other words, buying them from an agent, which would be exempt, but if you were buying them directly, essentially talent buying an artist, under this law, they would need to be an employee even for one night. Now, there is some lack of clarity in that. There's some ways that need to be continued to be reviewed, and I think AB 1850 will look at that. But, let me give you some specific examples, if I can, of what we're hearing out there in the sector. So there is a company, opera company in San Francisco, Solo Opera. And they looked at it. They decided that all the people that they had as independent contractors now need to be employees. The cost to do that would be over $10,000 for one performance. And their board pooled together the money for that $10,000. And then after that, they're likely going to go dark. Sierra Madre Playhouse, which is located in Southern California, has a youth program. They were going to do Charlotte's Web. Thousands of kids were going to be served by this program. They reviewed it. They looked at it. They said, we're going to have to make everybody an employee. It's just going to cost too much. We're going to have to cancel this performance. Mm. So we have a survey out there. We're hearing this over and over again. Now, of course, we're going to hear from the people who are having the disruption and the pain from this. The folks that are maybe benefiting from it are less likely to be the ones who are going to be contacting us. But there are certainly benefits to being protected as a worker.
If you are an independent contractor who's a performing artist, for example, and you get your packet ready because to every venue or town you're going to take your show. You have to become an employee, so you're ready with your paperwork. But where are the benefits coming from? You're not going to go to this venue and that venue and be covered every time. So are you just covered on that particular day for that event?
That's probably more of a question for an employment lawyer that I can't really wade into the specifics of it. I think what we hear and we speak with the entertainment unions and understanding their position, because I think it's really important. You know, our job is to see what is our common goal here as a sector, as we were describing before. And as a sector, I think there's two things that I would highlight. One is that we want to be seen and we want to be valued as an arts sector and the benefit that we bring to California, number one. And number two is we want to make sure that artists, the people who are doing that work, are valued and paid appropriately. And we know that a lot of artists are not. They're asked to perform for free. Hey, it'll give you great exposure. So we need to focus on what is the common goal and how do we get there. And so we see there's a lot of perspectives on this.
I'm talking with Julie Baker from Californians for the Arts. It is an arts advocacy group. I understand you stepping around the benefits question, but I don't want to leave it that easily, actually, because there must be people coming to these workshops saying, all right, now I'm entitled to benefits. What's my pathway? What kind of conversation can I have? And how do you answer those questions?
That's a really great question. So one of the things that we've highlighted in our survey says this too, which is that, you know, over 75% of the people who responded to our survey, both on the artist side, people being hired and the hiring entities, don't have the tools or resources to even understand how to be in compliance with this new law. So we're seeing some need from some emergency support. And that would be both for the artists themselves trying to figure out what does this mean if I'm an employee of 30 different organizations, and what does that mean in terms of Social Security, insurance, workman's comp, et cetera?
Right.
And then what does it mean from the hiring entity's side, and how do they make that happen? And some of the arts organizations that we're talking about, and there's over 11,000 arts organizations in California, some of the ones that we're talking about are run by all volunteers. Right. And so they're looking at it saying, we've never hired any employees. We don't know how to manage employees. Mm. We need the tools to even know how to create a payroll service, make an HR manual. I mean, there's very specific laws around employees. So one of the things that we've done in terms of advocacy is we advocate for further investment in the state arts agency, which is the California Arts Council. We also then went specifically to the Arts Council. We were invited to be on their agenda last month in February, and we asked them for emergency grant funds for arts organizations and artists to be able to apply during this year, right now, in order to learn how to be in compliance with AB 5. Because even hiring a lawyer costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And not every lawyer is available pro bono. So they're considering that. We don't have a decision yet. We do have a petition out there, so folks can sign that, because we see that, you know, we have to recognize, too, that the lack of investment in the arts is part of the sort of problem of why we cannot afford to pay people appropriately. So we do want to also focus on the need for investment.
What kind of teeth are in this law, and what kind of oversight is in place now? You described it as being such a new frontier arena. So even that might take time, I understand.
Yeah, and Governor Newsom did put in his budget announced in January that some funding for the EDD and the Department of Industrial Relations to enforce AB 5. So it is something that, you know, the governor did sign, the legislature voted on, and so they are going to look to enforce this. I think, though, what you're seeing already early in the legislature with things like AB 1850, which is the new clarification, kind of follow-up legislation to AB 5, is trying to understand what are some of the unintended collateral damage that's been caused, and what can they do to serve that? And I will tell you honestly, the legislature's listening. They really are. We've really encouraged people in our sector to do that grassroots advocacy. Contact your elected officials. Tell them the direct hit that it's taking on your organization or you as an artist. Are you receiving fewer opportunities to work? What does it mean, really? What has it really meant? Because they are listening, and I think they do want to address it. The legislation was not intended to kill the arts sector.
Do you think for individual artists, there is a restriction now, a lessening of opportunities? Has this inhibited potential anecdotally that you've heard?
We have heard some of that because, again, one of the things I think it also highlighted is that there's a certain sector. I mean, the arts ecosystem is huge, as I was describing earlier. Right. There's a certain segment of our arts ecosystem that is already financially fragile. I mean, again, I ran a nonprofit arts organization in a rural community. It's always a push. Everyone will tell you that. And so what is highlighted is that we've had this group that's already fragile, and it's, let's say, a piece of broken glass. AB5 put the glass on top, and it's almost shattering some of these arts organizations. So in order for them to be able to be in compliance, they now have to make people employees. And as I gave those examples, there's some of them are saying, we cannot simply do those programs. So yes, that does result potentially in fewer opportunities.
You are wearing a pin on your lapel, and it has the word bipartisan in it, but ART, those three letters, the word art, are highlighted in red. And I'm looking at it thinking, to what degree has this been a bipartisan conversation?
I think that not specifically AB5, but the arts are a bipartisan issue.
Sure.
There's nobody who you speak to. And last year we gave legislative Art Star Awards, and one of them was to Scott Wilk, who's a Republican from down south. And we've had great bipartisan support for the arts, and we hope to see that continue. And I think I like to remain hopeful in these situations, and there's a lot of fear out there, and rightly so, in our sector and in the arts, in trying to navigate this new legislation. Where I remain hopeful is that we are being discussed. We're actually being seen. The legislature is talking about the arts and talking about small budget arts organizations, the value that they deliver. This is huge for us. You know, we have always been sort of the nice to have, but not necessary. We need to be necessary. We need to be perceived as necessary. This is something that is a huge shift. And so for us to have that conversation going, that's great. Then the next conversation is, what is the correlation to investment in our sector? Mm-hmm. Currently, if I can just give some statistics, we are 26th in the United States in per capita funding for the arts. We're 71 cents per person per capita for funding for the arts in the
California,
state of California.
As a state. Mm-hmm.
New York, for example, which I think, you know, we like to think of ourselves, New York, California, the big cosmopolitan states with lots of arts. We're known for the arts here in California. New York, for example, is over $2.31. So this is an investment. It's a matter of prioritization, right? Do we prioritize the arts and what they bring to our communities and the economic impact that they bring and the jobs that they bring, which I can also give you some really recent statistics on.
We're going to wrap this conversation, but before you go, Julie, someone listening and realizing they need to check the details in this law, they need to know those three different factors and where they fall, whether they're an organization or an individual. We'll post a link, but I'm sure on your website there are resources as well.
We do. We have an entire section dedicated to AB5 on our website, which includes press stories, it includes white papers, it includes a template to speak to your elected official. It includes that petition that we've got. So there's a lot of information there. And our website is californiansforthearts.org. We are, too, one of those small budget nonprofit arts organizations.
You were not successful, by the way, on that exemption.
We were in that we received the exemption for fine artists. They are exempt.
Oh, they are
in
exempt.
AB5, yes.
Okay.
What we were not successful in is getting a broader exemption for the arts, which is what we started with. This year now, we'll see what comes out in AB 1850. We definitely encourage the field and folks, again, to let their elected officials know. The more people that understand how we operate, how we function, the more informed they are and the better they can make decisions in terms of supporting us. And you know, we are 15.4% of the California's economy is in the arts. I mean, it's a huge in the creative economy. We are huge in terms of our impact economically for California. Now we need to make sure that we're protected and the investment is made. So we hope to see a continued and increased investment in the California Arts Council, the state arts agency. We are lobbying as California Arts Advocates to see a $20 million increased investment this year in ongoing funds.
Was it a statement to you that the governor did not say anything about AB5 in his State of the State message?
I think what we know about the governor is that he likes to really focus in on something. That's how he works. And I appreciate what he focused on. I see it as someone who lives in California. I think it's a really important issue. I think what I always want to see is where can the arts intersect with issues like homelessness? And I think that that's something where we know that if you do housing first, if you make sure that people are have a home to go to, what's next? And some of the things, even when he was doing his tour, he came to our community and he watched people play the fiddle and a harmonica. The arts are always a part of how people remain successful and how they have a sense of integrity and value. And I think that that's where we can certainly intersect on all sorts of issues, whether it's veterans, PTSD, our prisons programs. We've got amazing arts programs across the state of California, and we want to see those thrive.
Thank you so much for your time, for being here in person, and for the conversation.
Thank you, Beth.
We will post a link to the website Californians for the Arts. We'll also post more resources, and there are stories by Scott Rodd. You can find those links at capradio.org/insight. You were listening to Julie Baker. Up next, some jazz sound advice. Oh, we're going to try to help you wind down the week. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.